winning because a winner don't quit on themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Friday. We made it. It's been a long week of news. And of course, sad to say, the Bucks, they're done in six. Aw.
This is breaking news to me. I'm finding out from Maggie right now. Aw.
We'll break news on the air. Yeah, not a great showing. I mean, Giannis's little brother, Giannis, got to play last night, which actually isn't really a good sign. When benches are cleared in a basketball game and you're putting in the literal B team, you've thrown in the towel. But there's always next year, and the upside to the Bucks series in my mind is that they won their two home games. We have a wonderful crowd. I think the Fiserv is an incredible venue to compete in. And so I'm looking forward to next year. Get everybody healthy. We had so many changes over the season. Obviously, Dame came in towards the beginning of the season. That's new chemistry. We had a new coach about halfway through the season. So we've got those changes in place. Next year will be on the upswing, I am certain. But do not fear. There is Wisconsin sports to take a listen to this weekend. Today, Friday, May 3rd, the Brewers will be playing the Cubs for the first time since Council deserted us. I still have very mixed feelings about that. Anyways, they have been playing, I think, since about 12:45. And we'll be updating you with the score from that game. And, of course, they've got a Saturday game, Brewers-Cubs. Saturday game tomorrow, also first pitch 12:45. You can check that out on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, and WCQM in Park Falls, 98Q Country. Score right now in the Brewers is 0-0 at the top of the fourth. That's what baseball nerds like. When it's low-scoring, small ball baseball, that's what the baseball geeks like. That's me. I'm vigorously keeping score every single pitch. Yeah. Drove to Madison this morning for a meeting. And during the beautiful day for a drive around Wisconsin. But it reminded me of a few of my biggest driving pet peeves. And I, since it's Friday, I thought this would be a good topic for Friday. What are your driving pet peeves? And don't worry, I'm not just going to talk about this light stuff. It is the Maggie Dawn Show. We got it, a stacked up lineup. We're going to have Terry Bell joining us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. And the Lieutenant Governor will be joining us, Sarah Rodriguez, at 3:30. And of course, local and overlooked at the bottom of this hour. So don't go anywhere. Lots to talk about. Joe Biden coming next week. So lots of news things. But I wanted to talk about this. What are your driving pet peeves? Because I've got a whole list of them. I started to sort of like rage write them down. Or do you have a driving confession? Right? I'd like to hear from one of those people that speeds at about 25 miles per hour over the limit. Like, if you want to own that, like, why are you doing it? Are you that late, or is this just your modus operandi? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yeah, so I drove to Madison this morning for a meeting, drove back. We're broadcasting live from downtown Waukesha here on the WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. And this reminded me of all of the things that I do not like about other drivers. I have a hit list of major peeves that other drivers do. And I have to start with this confession. I am myself a rage driver. Now, I do not drive angry. I just want to make that clear. But if you drove past me on the highway, you would see me talking to myself, calling out everybody else that's driving. So, I mean, I rage in my own car at the badness of other drivers. That's sort of, That's my jam. What about you, Anya? What's your, do you have a bad habit as a driver or a top pet peeve about other drivers?
Well,
or both?
I'll do a little confession and then I'll talk about my pet peeve. And it's so funny you brought this up because the whole drive here, I was like, if Maggie gets in time, I want to tell her that we have to talk about this driving thing. So
I'll get
to my pet peeve. My confession, I'm also an angry driver. I see myself as a lesson to other drivers. Like, well, you won't do that again.
Like, you're meeting out road justice?
I at times I do. When I see somebody and, you know, it's a 70-mile speed limit and I'm already doing 80 because it's a real speed limit.
Yeah.
And someone is coming up behind me at the speed of light and I know, what could they be doing? 95, 100? Okay, I guess I live in this left lane now. I live in this left lane with this semi-truck next to me until you learn a little patience, sir.
Yes.
So I'm sure that helps a lot. My pet peeve with driving right now, though,
yes,
maybe bigger than a pet peeve, the number of wrong-way drivers on one-way roads I have seen in Milwaukee this week. Coming here today, what is it, Prospect Avenue?
Yep.
Someone turns, gets right up in front of me. I'm in the left lane. I beep at them. They beep back at me.
Like,
are we having a conversation, friend? You're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Go in the wrong. So funniest thing, Anya and I both live on the east side of Milwaukee. We trek out here to Waukesha every day. So we got lots of driving stories. What's your pet peeve? Top irritant from other drivers? Or do you have a driving confession? 855-752-4842. We both live on the east side. I kid you not, I saw this on Farwell, which is a one-way street going south on the east side. A woman driver, which always, then I get mad because you're embarrassing my gender. Okay, woman driver pointed north on a one-way southward street called Farwell. And not, she was parking going the wrong way. And then clearly was attempting to put on her hazards while attempting the terrible parking job. And instead of putting her hazards on, turned on the windshield wipers. It took everything in my... I wanted to roll down the window and heckle her. Yes, I am a parking heckler. I am... For whatever reason, I think it comes from my mom, who's very very creative and great at, you know, like home decor and all those kinds of, so she's a very spatially aware person. So I think I inherited that a little bit from her. So I've always been money at parallel parking. I've always lived in a big city, so I can whip a car. I used to joke that I could park a stick shift while blackberrying, right, and eating a snack on a snow day with zero problem. Right. So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I can see I've got a back porch and a front porch. I will often sit on my front porch and like a play by play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport for sure.
Same here. Yes.
And very critical. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. You know, it's Stephen A. Smith, the well-known sports commentator. I am the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, since it's Friday, what is your top driver pet peeve? Do you have a driving confession? Mine is I'm a rage driver. That's my confession. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And I promised you, of course, that I would share some of my top driver pet peeves. And we've got just a little update. Brewers playing at 120 all weekend, a game time update. Thanks, Jeff from Shorewood. Appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to start perhaps with the bottom of my list and work up to my number one, okay? The bottom of my list is the hard jerking stoppers when you are stuck in the shotgun position. If I'm a passenger and you do not know how to ease off the gas and ease onto the brake at a stop sign, I'm going to be talking about you. Like, what are you trying to do? Give me motion sickness? I hate that. It's at the bottom of my list. I've got six things that are my driver pet peeves. All right, so hard jerky stops. What's your driver peeve? I want to hear about it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do not worry, I will get to the politics, but I had to expel my demon from all of the driving today. All right. The next one, also related to long distance driving, it is the excessive breaker on the highway. Instead of just take your foot off the, oh, you see a slowdown ahead. Please don't cram on your brakes. That's how accidents happen on the expressway. Perhaps just remove foot from gas. See if that's sufficient. Because when you tap your brakes or cram on them, your taillights light up and everybody behind you is like, oh, what's happening? I see that a lot these days. Tailgating it's always been one of my biggest driver pet peeves. Biggest driver pet peeves. That's number four. It's dangerous. Just ease up. Who cares if somebody cuts you off? Just give them a little bit more space. Or do the roadblock Anya style and just parallel up with the semi.
In German, we call that elephant racing. If you ever need a name for it, when multiple cars across multiple lanes form an unpassable line, elephant racing.
So there is a great, great YouTube. It is old. It is very old. But if you have ever driven in Atlanta, Atlanta traffic is almost as bad as LA. You know, it's like six lanes of highway going each direction. It's just huge. And Atlanta is really big. Dallas is also terrible. But Atlanta driving, they staged basically like a protest. And they had, so they had people on the over, like the bridges across the expressways, videotaping this. And they had six drivers in, you know, like in the eastbound or northbound, all line up next to each other and drive the speed limit. Okay? In like downtown Atlanta rush hour, driving the speed limit, so the actual posted speed limit. And it only took about 5 minutes before it was just absolute, complete bumper-to-bumper traffic jam behind these six cars that were shoulder-to-shoulder driving the speed limit in Atlanta. I'm talking about driving pet peeves. If you are on the line, stay there. Join us. I got to just air this out on Friday. I had to do a lot of driving today. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media. We'll be back with more in just a moment. May the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah, freedom. Come me down, but it's you. What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Friday to everybody. Go Crew, playing the Cubbies for the first time since Craig Council jumped ship. Score still tied at 0-0 at the bottom of the fourth. I think they just hit the end of the fourth inning. Talking about bad drivers, driver pet peeves, what's your driving confession? We've got my good friend Carmella on the line. Carmella, what's your driving confession or your top pet peeve?
Oh, God, I have so many. And you pretty much hit all of mine. But I'd say the biggest one, when I'm on the freeway and people park themselves in the left lane, just get over. Traffic will flow so much faster, especially two-lane highways. It drives me crazy, and I'm the same with you with stick shift. I would always pride myself that I could not use the brake on a hill and sit there and go ready to go. But I don't know if it's actual driving, but when I'm on the north side, black windows, no license plates, I have no idea. And then they come up on the side through the parking lane and go, you know, 80 miles an hour on a side street. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, that has become a danger. I think we're all much more attuned to it. I am a rabid mirror checker. mirror checker and blind spot checker. In fact, I won't buy a new car if it's got terrible blind spots, if the blind spots are too big. I don't want to rely on the little cameras. That ain't me. I want to see it with my own two eyes, get my body rotating, check those blind spots out, because I don't want to get swiped by somebody flying up the parking lane at stinking 80 miles an hour. It's so dangerous. Got to be super aware. Also hearing from Cam, from Nina, he said, I got a Dodge Challenger. People try to race me, and I just won't race them. So my admission is, if you're speeding fast, way over the speed limit, I won't let you pass me. Screw you. Why are you more important than anybody else? I think you and Anya are birds of a feather right there.
Cam, we got to be driving buddies. You and me together, man. We're going to fix the driving in this state.
I hope so. Steve from Milwaukee, truckers show no courtesy. They ride slightly ahead of you and then throw slush on the windshield or rain sweater. Slow down or get out way ahead so you don't almost kill someone. Or when two truckers are at the same speed right next to each other. Yep, pretty annoying. All right, I've been sharing my top driving pet peeves. I think I've gotten through the bottom three, which were the highway excessive braking. No, just ease off the gas. The hard jerking stops when you are a passenger. Can't stand that. Tailgating. The next one are people who are turning right at a red light and they don't make the turn. Like, they don't know that you can turn right on red. That will, you will see me go from zero to about like a hot 20 plus, hand gestures a going, four-letter words abounding. Like, why aren't you turning? There's no traffic. Immediately, if you are not turning right at the red light when you can, just bugs the crud out of me. Got to pick up this caller. It is G.I. Joe on Highway 94. What's your driving pet peeve or driving confession?
Well, you got to realize that there's school buses and CDL drivers with hazmat.
Yes.
And everybody thinks they got the right of passage, but they don't. And these roads are not safe.
Yeah, what do you do to drive more safely? Have you changed how you drive since people have gotten more reckless? Basically, I mean, a lot of the statistics are showing that people, the driving has gotten much worse post-COVID. Are you driving differently, Joe?
I've had a CDL all my life. I don't drive any different today than I did 20 years ago.
You are what oops, I'm sorry, Joe. Didn't mean to cut you off there. What were you saying? The problem is?
The problem is everybody thinks they have some kind of superior authority on this.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I hear you, brother. Joe's one of the expert drivers out there. If you've got a CDL, you know how to drive. And heard, Joe, if you got hazmat materials, school buses, they got to stop at the railroad tracks. They are going to come to a full and complete stop at stop signs. I like to think that I don't rage at folks like that. I rage at the people that should know we got zero traffic. You're stopped at a red light. You're in the right-hand turn lane. You can proceed. It is okay. I'll keep that on my peeve list, I think. Gotta go ahead. And is this my friend Jane Matinair? Hello, Jane.
Hello, Maggie Dawn. How you doing?
I'm great. Happy Friday, Jane.
And to you as well. Okay, I have a confession.
Confess away, my friend.
Well, first of all, I'm completely with you. My car is my angry place. I swear more in my car, and you know, we've spent enough time together. You know that I'm not shy about four-letter words, but the car is especially colorful. And my confession: my regular car, which is a Subaru SUV, has had some work done. So we have this little tiny Fiat 500. It's one of those, you know, little super small car. It's, you could hug this car. It's so
yes.
Small.
Get your arms right around it.
Absolutely, it's tiny. And in the last couple of days, as I have been taking this back and forth to work, I have found myself peeling out from a red light because I want to beat the big truck next to me.
Oh, I can feel that, Jane. That is for sure. Thanks so much for calling, friend. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Maggie.
That's Jane Matinair, host of Matinair On Air. You can find that here across the Civic Media Radio Network from 10 to noon every Monday through Friday. Thanks so much to my good friend, Jane. All right, I got two more to go on my hit list. Number two is folks that need to turn left. It is a green light, and they fail to proceed into the intersection and remain at the crosswalk. I will lose my stuff with you. It is almost as bad as the failure to turn right on a red when there is no oncoming traffic. Like, what do you do? You got to get out there. You're leaving all the rest of us stuck here with someplace to go behind you in the lurch. Move, proceed into the intersection. That'll get me hand waving. That's for darn sure. And I'm going to tell you my number one, and then we're going to close it out on the phones. If you want to get in on this Friday driving complaint fest, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All right, my top of the list, absolute number one Maggie Dawn driver pet peeve, and it is happening all over the place these days. And I think it's largely because of Uber and Lyft, etc., is the, I won't pull into this parking spot or into this other area that is curbside. I'll just stop my vehicle in the lane of traffic and pop on my hazards and then sit here for God knows how many minutes while everybody else in usually rush hour traffic is completely, completely screwed behind me. That one, you drive past and people are on their phones. I'm like, what are you doing, you jerk? I hate it. If you are on the phones and you want to get your driving gripe in, we got Terry Barr joining us. I'm sure she'll have some driving gripes. We'll take you. Don't go anywhere. Dick from Madison, Annie from Watertown, I see you. We'll take more texters, and we'll bring on Terry Barr for Local and Overlooked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to get in on this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Drive safely. What's up, Wisconsin? Are you driving safe or are you raging in your car at someone? That's one of my driving confessions. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media. Got some texters weighing in. We've been talking about our list of top driving pet peeves. What do other people do that bug you? As well as what's your driving confession? We got Mary from Mount Horeb. People who don't know how roundabouts work and treat it like a four-way stop. Couldn't agree with you more. That will get my arms a flailing and the four-letter words a flying for sure. Ken Bob from Daleyville. I'm also a CDL driver, and my pet peeve are the people who speed on by the interstate when they see a sign that says left or right lane is going to be closing up ahead. Man, yes, so unsafe. These idiots go all the way to the last point and force the entire line of traffic to slow down to 10 miles an hour or less to let them in. That makes blockages go on for miles and delays everybody to an extreme extent. When I see those merges coming up, I always try to pair up with a big truck and block whichever lane is about to close to prevent the slowdown. Bravo, Ken Bob. It's often dramatic how an almost stopped line of cars suddenly starts moving from 30 to 45 miles an hour once the idiots have forced their way in and are not replaced. Thanks so much, Ken Bob. I love it. If you're a new texter or caller, you always go to the front of the line. Thanks much. Keep listening. Keep calling. That didn't make my list, but I'm adding it. The rudeness of people that do that and how dangerous it is.
It reminds me of being back in kindergarten. And it's like, yeah, we're all lining up for the snack. We have to get in line. And these cars are just the kid who's like, I want the snack first. It's like, that's not how lines work. We're in a civil society.
100%. Because we're all in our little boxes, people are doing these things that they would never, or maybe used to never, would do directly to your face. And as Ken Bob from Daleyville is pointing out, it is darned dangerous and slows everybody else down. I've known a couple of traffic engineers in my time, which is just an absolutely fascinating science. very mathy. And this is universally true. If you see traffic slowing down, you will rarely, if ever, get anywhere faster by changing lanes a whole bunch of times. What you will do is what Ken Bob from Daleyville has just described. He's got a CDL. When you switch lanes a bunch, what you cause is other people pumping their brakes, which has this cascading domino effect through the rest of the traffic and actually leads to more backups. You will generally get to wherever you are going just as fast if you chill out in the lane that you're in. It's just how traffic patterns and traffic engineering works. And, you know, Americans, we always think we're better at it than other. No. I'm a much better lane jumper than everybody else. No, you're not. No. You're not. No. Don't yell at your radio. You are not a better lane jumper than everybody else. We got time to take just a couple last callers. Annie from Watertown, what's your pet peeve or driving confession?
Well, I might be the person waiting to make the right turn. I made a right turn on red. And apparently offended this guy in this big pickup truck who proceeded to whip around me and everything in the traffic and brake checked me and totaled my car and got out and started screaming at me. Apparently I offended him by making a right turn on red. And then while he was waiting for the light to change, I wasn't even in his lane. But apparently I have seen road rage so much that I wish there was some ticket for it. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, if I'm in the left lane and waiting to get over, I don't tailgate. So Somebody will go around my right and go in front of me. Well, I'm sorry, but I was trying to just give them space. I wasn't really hogging the left lane and Just trying to be more understanding. And, you know, maybe somebody's just found out their mother died and they're on their way home and they're not paying good attention. You know, you got to be more compassionate.
I love it. Thank you, Annie. That's a good way for us to think about this topic. Want to give our friend Dick from Madison a shot at it. Dick, what's your driving confession or top pet peeve?
Well, the one you described, your top number one, happened to me this morning on Willie Street. A guy in an Outback pulls over by Madison Sourdough, puts on the hazards, and there you go.
Hangs out.
But my number one pet peeve is I got a four-way stop about an eighth of a mile from here. And in the morning and the afternoon during the drive time, the people that will creep out and it's their time to go, okay? But the next person behind them is real tight to them, and they just kind of slither right in with them like they got a logging chain hooked to the other car and keep right on going. And I see it all the time at this one on Flom and Buckeye.
Yep.
All the time.
Yep. Thanks so much for calling, Dick. Couple more texters weighing in here. John from Hubertus. He's wondering why the Fiat cars aren't more popular. They've been in Italy for years. They came to the United States. I don't even think they're available anymore, John points out from Hubertus, but everyone still wants one to save the environment from their SUV. I agree.
But you know what Fiat stands for? You ever heard this joke?
No.
This is a joke some guy told me years ago. Maybe it's not true, but he stands for fix it again tomorrow. They are notorious for falling apart. We'll have to ask Jane about that.
I think they're just adorable.
Oh, they're very cute. I'd love one.
Those and Mini Coopers with the stick shift, like vroom, vroom.
I've never learned stick shift, so that's my problem. But
Steve from Milwaukee pointing out that in certain places in Illinois, you can get a ticket if you turn right on a red light. So know the local rules. Usually it will say no turn on red. Obviously, that means no turn on red. But the majority of intersections around these parts, there is no turn on red sign. With that, thanks so much for participating in my purging of my driving angst this Friday afternoon. I had to get it out. Thought we'd warm up this Friday. It is, after all, nearly the weekend. So excited to bring on my friend and yours, Civic Media's own Terry Barr, to talk about what's local and overlooked here in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry.
Oh, hello. You have me laughing on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for all that great car talk.
Oh, good. Wow. We're like Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. It's Anya and Maggie, the something sisters. I don't know what it is, but we'll figure that out.
The Transistor Sisters.
Oh, I love it.
Something like that? I don't know.
Yes, very nice.
Oh, I like that a lot. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we have a local but overlooked for you today. We're going to let's take a drive over to La Crosse. How about that?
Sounds good.
And we continue to hear, about, you know, the cost of renting or that there's not enough inventory to rent or even buy. Here's what's happening in La Crosse, where the River Point District is being developed. Now, this is going to be a mixed-use neighborhood right on the Mississippi River. It was a 65-acre industrial site, and I love that this is bringing together both private and public partnerships. We always talk about how great that is if that can work together to make it happen, and this is something they've been working on for quite a few years. But here's the exciting thing. The first building in this whole district is getting ready to open, and it's going to be 100 units for seniors and then 20 affordable townhomes. And that is the first building to get done, to have people come in that they're welcoming in. And this is considered the largest urban redevelopment project ever for the city of La Crosse. So I think that's just a terrific one to highlight. And by the way, La Crosse, the only Wisconsin city to make the most recent Money Magazine list of 50 best cities in the country. Well, La Crosse, the only one in Wisconsin.
Well, congratulations to La Crosse. What a wonderful thing. It's amazing to me when we open our neighborhoods up, when we encourage affordable housing, senior housing, and you bring mm-hmm. people together in community. Magic happens when you know your neighbors. I, and listen, I've always lived in multi-unit buildings and where you do know your neighbors. And it is, mm-hmm. I feel so connected. I have the most wonderful neighbor right now. I think many of you know I've got basically a year and a half old puppy. I'm a great big tall person, so I thought it would be ironic for me to get a miniature dachshund. So I did. Her name is Finny, and my next door neighbor has this older, lovely, charming 80 pounder. His name is Stevie, and she comes over every day at 2 o'clock and she takes my little Finny and big old Stevie to the dog park, and they just hang. They're like the best, two best friends that anybody had. I mean, they're so cute together. And I love that. I love that we have that neighborly yeah. relationship. I water her plants. She keeps an eye on things. That's what it's all about.
Yes. And I know that is the goal with this neighborhood in La Crosse. It's going to be more dense housing as they yes. continue to build. So, and of course, we know that means homes that are closer together. Yeah. So in some ways, you're forced to get to know your neighbor, but that's an okay thing. You know, I think where we live, we're in one of those newer developments also where the homes are close together. So you kind of feel like you live in a city
yep.
and almost everyone knows each other. And I've just really enjoyed getting to know all the neighbors. I think it's terrific. Yes.
That's what I've always said to people. You know, when you if you didn't grow up in a larger city, I've mm-hmm. offered to people it's not all that different from a small town, because a large city is just comprised of these little neighborhoods, right? And
yeah.
you get to know, yep. like, I know the people in your neighborhood. I think there was a song about that, right? I mean,
oh, there was,
right? Who are the people
who
in your neighborhood? Yes,
people in your neighborhood.
Was that Mr. Rogers? I mean, Pearls of or Sesame Street?
Yeah.
Pearls of wisdom coming from, you know, childhood shows. But that's, cities are just a bunch of small neighborhoods and generally people that get to know each other in those places. It was like that when I lived in New York. It was like that in Chicago. It's like that in Milwaukee. That's one of those things that, you know, people talk about the urban-rural divide. Like, hey, we're all living in communities. We all want to support one another. We want our communities to succeed mm-hmm. and do well and thrive. So congrats to La Crosse for investing in both affordable and mm-hmm. senior housing. I love it.
Yeah. Should I go on to number two for you?
Heck yeah, you should.
Okay. Well, if you watched any of the NFL draft coverage from Detroit, you know the number of people there set a new record. 275,000 plus
oh my gosh.
People in Detroit for the draft. So, of course, you know what this means now. All eyes on Green Bay, because you know, the city's going to be the host of the 2025 draft. And just a reminder, the Green Bay population is only 100,000 in the city proper. So new hotels are starting to be built. Friends and strangers are going to be renting homes. And if you think about this, they are going north up to Marinette, south to Fond du Lac to find places to either get a hotel or find a home or even a room to rent. And now representatives from both the Packers and the city are going to plan a whole bunch of meetings with businesses in the area to try and best plan how to be involved to get the most, you know, and I'm just going to say it, for these small businesses to get the most bang for their buck when they have all these visitors in the city. Another positive story.
Yes, that's going to be incredible for Green Bay. I'm proud that we're hosting. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I have a Roger Goodell story for everybody. If you want to know when Maggie Dawn met Roger Goodell and what Maggie Dawn had to say to Roger Goodell, you're going to want to stick around because I'm going to tell that little story after these messages. Thanks so much, Terry Barr, local and overlooked. We've got her every Friday. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend, Terry.
You bet. You too.
Take care. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to tell my Roger Goodell story when we get back. I'm kind of excited about it. If you were chuckling about the traffic, you'll probably chuckle about what I had to say to Roger Goodell. You think I'll hold my tongue when I'm talking to the commish? Stay tuned to find out. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment.
Top down, tires on fire. Who are you? I'm living my life. See you looking with that side eye. Why you so jealous? Cause I'm one of a kind. What you think about me? I don't care. Ask me what I'm thinking about. Feel like I couldn't breathe. You ask what's wrong with me.
What is up, Wisconsin? I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We were just talking with Terry Barr about the fact that the NFL draft is coming to Green Bay next year. It's going to be pretty incredible, I would have to say. Probably going to triple the population of Green Bay for the draft. It's been this weird thing. Like every year, the draft seems to be a bigger and bigger deal. And I know a bunch of my friends that do fantasy football, and they get together and they have their own drafts and they got binders of all the play. Not how I'm going to spend my free time, but you know, respect if that's your thing. Apparently speaking of fantasy football, I've always joked that Dungeons and Dragons is like the equivalent of fantasy football. It's just role playing in a different way. They're coming out with like a D&D musical.
Oh, yeah. There's something similar to that on stage already. Yeah, it's very popular out there.
Wow. I played it once or twice when I was a kid, and it just didn't stick. Now, you want to hit me with some Settlers of Catan? I'm in it to win it. Like, I'm a big, big board game fan. But, you know, again, on balance, probably not playing a whole lot of D&D. Okay, so I promised you all a story about Roger Goodell since we were talking about the NFL draft. And Roger Goodell, if you do not know, he is the commish. He is the commissioner of the NFL. Very highly paid guy. He's been the commish, I don't even know how long. A considerably long period of time. And I don't know. Maybe like 2015, 16, the draft was in Chicago. And I happened to be speaking at a conference the weekend of the draft in Chicago. The conference was at the Four Seasons. It was very, very nice. Very, very nice. So I was down there, spoke, did my little speechifying, and then went out to dinner with some of my friends that were at the conference. And because you don't have to go anywhere, you know, you sit down, you have a nice dinner. There's a little wine, maybe a little scotch after dinner. So we all were feeling pretty good when we roll back into the Four Seasons. Hey, you want, let's have one more overpriced drink at the Four Seasons bar. So we roll into the bar. And it's maybe, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And it is packed. And it's, I think we were there on like a Wednesday. Rare is it that the Four Seasons bar at nearly 11 o'clock on a random Wednesday is packed. I mean, no room to sit, every table, every bar stool taken. And everybody in there is like huge dudes. And not basketball huge, football big, right? So wide bodies. And taller than your average gentleman. So it clicks about, oh, yeah, it's the draft. Do we still want, yeah, let's have a drink. And for some reason, I was with, I think, four or five men. It was funny. They all toddled off to the men's room together. I was like, oh, I'll find a seat. Well, at least for me. And I figured I'll have a pretty good odds walking up to the bar and maybe somebody will be kind enough, gentlemanly enough to offer me a seat. And so I walked up to the bar. And whom did I happen to walk up next to? Because a gentleman was getting out of one of the bars. Are you done? Yes. So I was sitting down. I sit down and I look over to my right. And who's sitting right next to me? The commish. The man has very good hair, by the way. It had this sort of like windblown but coiffed look to it. And like really good cologne. It's like, Maggie, don't ask the commish what cologne he's wearing. He'll think you're coming on to him. Anyway, so sit down next to the commish. And I'm waiting because it's packed and the bartenders are all over the place. It takes a little while. And eventually he looks over to me, very polite, said, have you gotten a drink yet? No. And he's like, oh, well, let me help you with that. So he waves over the waiter, which very nice. And I said, Commissioner Goodell, thank you very much. And he said, that's great. What would you like to drink? Let me get your drink. And I was like, well, I'll have three fingers of Johnny Walker Black, please. give me the good stuff. And maybe it was Johnny Walker Blue. I ordered some really expensive scotch. And he looked at me and he's like, no kidding, huh? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, can I ask you a question, too, since we're sitting here? As long as I'm, you know, overstepping a wee bit, I might as well go for the gusto with the commish. This was a few years after the whole concussion scandal. And so I get my scotch, thank you, cheers. And I asked him, I was like, so what was up with the concussion? How come you guys didn't come out and do a little bit better about that? And by this time, my gentleman friends that I had been at dinner with had sort of congregated up. And they're literally like, Mr. Commissioner, so very sorry, like dragging me away from the bar. I'm like, no, really, really. Didn't you kind of missed the boat on that whole concussion? I might be overselling it slightly, but I did ask the guy the question, and he did buy me three fingers worth of a very expensive scotch. So I'm sure the commissioner is listening. My thanks to you, sir, for that very expensive drink you bought me in, I don't know, 2015, 2016, at the Chicago Four Seasons. Good fun. He was a good sport about it.
I like how afterwards you summarized it by saying you asked him about the concussions, and he bought you a drink. But not in that order.
No.
The story may have gone differently had you opened with that.
Right. But I probably wouldn't have gotten the Johnny Walker Black. Yeah. I'm just guessing. Or I would have been like, no. Johnny Walker Red. Let's get the bottom shelf. Let's get the rail whiskey for this lady. Yeah. I give the man a whole heck of a lot of credit for just rolling with it. Again, very good hair. Very nice cologne. I suppose he can afford it along with my three fingers of very expensive scotch. It is the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to Civic Media. The Cubs just went up by one. They're playing the Brewers at Wrigley this afternoon. We're also going to have the Cubs-Brewers game tomorrow. First pitch at 1:20. You can check that out on WRCE, Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls. Really excited. We're going to have Terry Bell joining us at the top of the hour. We're going to be talking about media on the media. One of the questions I want to talk to Terry about today is, how the heck do you cover Donald Trump? I pulled the PolitiFact, the fact check on Trump's remarks this past Wednesday in Waukesha and his remarks later that same day in Michigan. I mean, it's like 10, 11 pages of a fact. How do you cover that as a news person? I don't do news. I'll read copy about news, but I comment on it. That's easy. I think what Terry and his news team does here for Civic Media is really a feat of dedication every day. So don't go anywhere. News, weather, and sports are next. Then we'll be joined by Terry Bell talking about media on the media. And at the bottom of the hour, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us. So don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't wait to see you.